Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate Pentecost today. I want you to go ahead and if you have your Bibles, and you should have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 1 and just hang there in Acts chapter 1, and we'll get right into some things here in just a minute where you can follow along in the Word of God. But today is Pentecost Sunday. There's a lot of, a lot of people look at Pentecost in different ways. But the word Pentecost, it actually means 50. Say 50. The word Pentecost means 50. In the Old Testament, God's people were required to celebrate certain festivals. And the Pentecost festival was one of those festivals that they celebrated 50 days after the Passover celebration. But today, the church celebrates something powerful that happened on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We celebrate that today. That word Pentecost means 50. It was a celebration festival in the Old Testament, and even as they went into the New Testament, they were there celebrating that Pentecost festival. But on that day in the book of Acts, that is when they received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Let me just say a few things about the Holy Spirit. When you are saved and when you're born again, I hope and pray everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, I hope you're saved. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that you have been born again. There's been a physical birth in your life, but I pray there's been a spiritual birth in your life. You are born again. And when you are born again, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and He lives in us. In fact, Paul told us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit who is within us. There is an indwelling work done. When you make the decision to follow Christ, to repent of your sins, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. But Jesus promised His followers something more than just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Right before Jesus ascended back to heaven, after He was resurrected, He gave His followers some instructions. Those instructions are found in Acts chapter 1. You can look now in verse 4 through 5. Jesus, He instructs His followers, and here's what He says to them. He says to His followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If you think back to the Gospel of Mark, when John saw Jesus coming toward the Jordan, you remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming? John says, "I baptize with water, but He," speaking of Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. And Jesus here in the book of Acts, He tells His followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you are empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit." And in just a few verses later, after He gives them the instructions about not leaving Jerusalem, because He's given them a promise, the Father promised it, Jesus promised it, and He says, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit." And in just a few verses later, He tells them why they need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He tells them the why. And the same reason why they needed the Holy Spirit is the same reason that you and I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you the why. The why is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just follow along. Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Remember, this is the why. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love what the New Living Translation says. Jesus said here in the New Living Translation, it says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The reason why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so we can be a witness telling everybody about Jesus. Now, the reason why they needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, think back now, was because they don't even know this at the time, but they are about to be sent out. Think about this. They're about to be sent out into a chaotic culture to preach Jesus without a New Testament Bible in a Roman-dominated world that says there is only one Lord, and his name is not Jesus, but his name is Caesar. And they're about to be sent out into this kind of culture, and they're about to face some major persecution and problems in their life. They have no idea what they're about to encounter, but Jesus knows. And I think about everything that they dealt with, being sent out into a chaotic culture. I mean, look at the parallels of where we are today. Preaching Jesus, they had no New Testament Bible. They're in a dominated world by the Romans. And I think about everything that they had to face and everything that they had to go through. And to me, it's sad. It's really sad because today in America, the church today in America, we cry and we cave in our faith if it rains outside on Sunday. We cry and we cave when our faith gets tested just a little bit. We cry and cave if we have to make a sacrifice, especially, God willing, if it disrupts our schedules. We have it so easy here in the American church. And I say, God, help us. Because when you look at where we are now in the American church and compare it to the early church, these early Christians were walking into chaotic culture, persecution, no Bible, and a lot of questions, I'm sure. We really have no clue of everything that they faced and went through as they walked out their faith. And they had no clue what they were getting ready to encounter. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was coming. And so he gives them this command. And I don't want you to miss this, because if you were to study these words here in the Greek and that do not, that's a command. But it's not only a command, it's a forceful command. Jesus is saying to them in a forceful way, do not leave Jerusalem. It was a forceful command. Do not leave Jerusalem until you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do not leave. Because when the baptism comes on you, you're going to receive power to do things you normally couldn't do. That word power there, it's a Greek word, dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It's an exploding power, but that word also means this right here. The word power means it's an exploding power that gives you supernatural ability and might. That word power means ability and might. And Jesus was saying to those people, he says, you need, his followers, he was saying, you need this baptism because it's going to give you ability and might in your lives that you wouldn't normally have. Listen, you don't know this yet, but you're getting ready to step out into a chaotic culture. You've been called to preach the gospel. I've called you to go out and be a witness. You don't know everything you're going to face, but I'm just telling you, you need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit so you'll have the ability and the might to do what I've called you to do. God help us. You remember, I'm sure you do, you know your Bibles well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, many times, he complained about having this thorn in his flesh. You remember that, right? And a lot of people have speculated what that thorn could have been. Some believe it might have been his eyesight. But whatever the thorn was in his flesh that he was praying that God would take away, that thorn would hinder him. It would hinder his ability at times. It would hinder his strength at times. And Paul goes on, and three times he pleads with the Lord, take this thorn from me. And after the third time, the Lord replies back to Paul. And you remember what he said? He says, my grace is sufficient. But listen to this. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus said, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, that word weakness in the Bible there, if you would have studied that, it doesn't mean he was weak in sin. It means that he was weak. It was a lack of ability. It was a lack of strength in his life. And that's the weakness that Paul dealt with. And the Lord said, my power, Paul, is going to make up for your lack of ability. It's going to make up for your lack of strength. I'm going to give you something you normally couldn't do. Because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And how many of you know this morning that like Paul, we are weak. We are weak in our own strength. In our own strength, we are weak. We need the Lord's power so we can have this supernatural ability to do His will. We need this supernatural ability. We need this supernatural might at work in our lives so we can do the will of God and the work of God. Now, I believe not the main reason, but one of the, because there's a lot of reasons about what I'm going to say. I believe one of the main reasons that the church in America today is not walking in the power of God is because we're not hungry and desperate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that is one of the main reasons. There's a lot of reasons, but that's another sermon for another day. But just for this setting on Pentecost Sunday, I believe that one of the reasons why we are not walking in the power of God is because we're not hungry and we're not desperate for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Most church people today, not anybody from this church, most church people today, yeah, a lot of people from this church, most church people today are not hungry and desperate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know why? Because we're not witnessing and winning people that are lost to Jesus. Let me just say that again, because it felt good. Most church people today are not hungry and desperate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're not desperate for this power that will give them ability and might, because we're not even witnessing and we're not winning lost people to Jesus. And if we're not witnessing as Jesus commanded us to do, and if we're not winning lost people to Christ as Jesus has commanded us to do, then what's the point of even having the power at work in our life? There's not going to be a hunger for it. There's not going to be a desperation for it, because we're not doing anything. Well, help me, Jesus. We need God's power. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, was going to come. He promised it. He said, it's going to come and it's going to do something in us that we're not able to do. So we could witness and tell people about Jesus everywhere. The Spirit baptism was so the church could tell the whole world. You remember what Jesus says? He says, wait here, and you're going to receive power, and you're going to become a witness for me, and you're going to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's look at Jerusalem. I got a map there of Israel. You can see Jerusalem on that map. This is where the Pentecost was ignited. The baptism in the Holy Spirit started there in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost that we actually celebrate today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were there in Jerusalem, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine the conversation that's going on with those followers that are there in Jerusalem? And the people are asking them, what are you doing? What are you all doing in that upper room? And you can just imagine what the response would have been. We're just waiting. We're just waiting. All we know is Jesus made a promise. He told us in a command, do not leave Jerusalem, but just wait there for a few days and pray. And Jesus gave us the promise. He gave us the command. So we're going to wait here in prayer, and we're going to pray these promises over our lives. They were there. They waited and they prayed. They waited and they prayed. They waited and they prayed. God help us as a church to wait on the Lord and pray to the Lord. We need to wait in the Lord's presence. We need to wait in the Lord's presence because it's in the waiting that desperation comes. It's in the waiting time when we're praying that the hunger for Jesus comes. It's in the waiting that we humble ourselves before the Lord. It's in the waiting that we submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the work of God. It's in the waiting that we have times of refreshing with the Lord. It's in the waiting that we're cleansed and purified from sin in our life. It's in the waiting that the Holy Spirit fills us and refills us. God help us as a church that we would have times of waiting and praying and waiting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, most Bible scholars, they believe, and you study this here when Jesus said in just a few days, most Bible scholars believe that they spent 10 days in a prayer meeting. Woo! If we called a prayer meeting for 10 minutes, some of you'd be mad. They prayed for 10 days. They were waiting and praying for 10 days in a prayer meeting. Not a preaching meeting, not a praise meeting. They were 10 days in a prayer meeting. And while they're in that prayer meeting, the Bible says, then suddenly, in that prayer meeting, then suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was the fulfillment of the promise Jesus spoke about of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the baptism. Now that word there in that passage, filled, or you could use baptized. Don't miss this because I want to help you out here. Here's what it means. Baptism means to be immersed in, engulfed in, drenched in, soaked in, submerged in, saturated in the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. It means to be immersed in, engulfed in, drenched in, soaked in, submerged in, saturated in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism is an encounter with Jesus, the baptizer. This past week, when I was asking God to give me something to give to the people, to feed the flock today, there was three words that came, and I'm going to share those here in just a second, but the Holy Spirit baptism is an encounter with Jesus, the baptizer. The Holy Spirit baptism is not just an experience. It's an encounter. And notice this, when you have the baptism encounter and when you have the baptism experience, there's going to be a baptism expression because the Bible says they began speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit baptism, here it is. These are the three words the Lord gave to me. The Holy Spirit baptism is an encounter, it's an experience, and it's an expression. And when you're immersed in and soaked in and saturated in and drenched in and over your head in God's presence, you will have an expression. When you're immersed in, drenched in, soaked in, saturated in, surrounded in God's presence, when you're praising Him for His love, for His mercy, for His goodness, for His grace, when you're praising Him for forgiveness of sin, when you're praising Him for His faithfulness, when you're praising Him for His provision, His peace, His protection, you can't help but open your mouth and express praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. And sometimes... Sometimes you get so immersed in, drenched in, soaked in God's presence and so full of praise that a praise God and a hallelujah is not enough, and your mouth will express praise through tongues. When you get so full and so, when you start to just run out of words that you know in your own vocabulary that can praise God, God, the Bible says, He gives you the gift of tongues so you can worship Him with a heavenly language as the Spirit enables you. I've experienced it in my life, and I know many of you have too. This is what happened in Jerusalem. Pentecost was ignited, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then it spread from Jerusalem into Samaria. You remember in Acts chapter 8, right? Philip, he travels over to Samaria. He tells the people in Samaria about Jesus. Don't miss this, because the Samaritans are hated and despised by the Jews. But Philip goes under the inspiration and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he preaches Jesus to these hated and despised people. You know why he did that? Because when the Holy Spirit fills you, guess what? When the Holy Spirit is poured out, racism has to go, hatred has to go, prejudice has to go, division has to go, strife has to go. When the Holy Spirit fills you and is poured out, we love one another, we encourage one another, we build one another up, we serve one another, we help one another, we make peace with people as much as possible. We don't see a color of skin. All we see is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Samaritans, they hear the good news of Jesus, and the Bible says they get saved. And the news spreads back to Jerusalem, where the Jews are, and they send Peter and John, who are Jews, to the Samaritans to go investigate. And when John and Peter get there, they lay their hands on them in Acts chapter 8, verse 17. And it says that those Samaritans who just got saved, they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we see the encounter, we see the experience, but here, we don't see in the scripture the expression, but hold on a minute. Because the Bible says that in Samaria, there was a man named Simon the sorcerer. And he was there when they were all saved, and he saw those Peter and John come and lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And whatever happened after they received the Holy Spirit, it must have caught the eye and caught the ear of Simon the sorcerer, because he wanted to buy what he just heard and saw. He wanted to buy. So there was some kind of manifestation. There was some kind of expression that happened when they received the Holy Spirit, and Simon wanted to buy it. Something happened after they received the Holy Spirit. In Samaria, they had an encounter with Jesus. They had an experience with the baptism. And I believe there was an expression of tongues. And Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy that. But he got rebuked for that. And then we see that Pentecost power spread from Samaria right into Judea. And look at the map here of Judea. You remember in Acts chapter 10, there was a Gentile man named Cornelius. He was actually an Italian. He was a military man. He was a kind man. He was a generous man. He was a God-fearing man, but he was not saved. And God wanted this man to be saved, and God wanted him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So God sent an angel to Cornelius and told Cornelius, take your men and send them to Joppa and find Peter and get Peter to come back to your place. So you know how it all happened. They go, they find Peter. Peter travels back there to Judea, and he goes into the house of the Gentiles. Wasn't supposed to do that. And he goes in to there and he begins to preach the gospel to those in Cornelius's house. And Peter is a long-winded preacher. And I know you're not used to that, but Peter was a long-winded preacher. And while he was preaching, before he could ever even finish, the Bible says that while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon everyone in the house. The Holy Spirit fell upon all in the house. Think about that now. He's not, that was my prayer this morning. Lord, even before I finish preaching today, I pray the Holy Spirit will fall in this place, upon hearts in this place today. people that are empty will be refilled, whatever it may be. But I want you to notice this. We try to lock God in a box. We try to lock God in a box with our traditions, with our methods, with our formulas. You don't see no, listen, there's no altar call here. There's no stand like this, hold your hands up, no kneel down and pray, say this, say that. There's none of that. He's just preaching the word and the Holy Spirit falls upon that place. And in verse 46, it says they were speaking in tongues, praising God. They were speaking in tongues, praising God before he finished preaching. There was the encounter, there was the experience, and there was the expression. Right there in Judea, we see the encounter, the experience and expression, and the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost spread right over into the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Here's a map right here of a place called Ephesus. If you're familiar with that in the Bible, you know that Paul had a great work that he did there in Ephesus, but in Ephesus, you can see there just right across where Athens is, right up there to where Rome is. There was a lot of Roman and Greek influence in the Ephesus area, and many in that time, they considered Ephesus to be the ends of the earth because of the worship of Greek gods and Roman gods that were in that place. But we find in Acts chapter 19, Paul shows up in that place and he finds several people who had been saved under the ministry of Apollos, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, what Holy Spirit? And in Acts 19:6, Paul lays hands on them and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit baptism had spread from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea to the ends of the earth. Brother, if you will come, let's give them hope, and I'm about to run out of gas. Jesus, don't miss this, please. Jesus knew, he knew, they did not know what they were about to encounter. But Jesus knew. He knew they would need the baptism in the Holy Spirit then. And Jesus knows we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit now. We need the Holy Spirit baptism now. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of Pentecost to spread and continue to spread. And right here in Mount Olive, North Carolina. Come on. We need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Put it up there. Put that map up there for me. Look right there. I found that map and I got tickled when I found that map. But then I got a little disappointed because Clipso's not even on that map. We need Pentecost and Calypso. We need the Holy Spirit baptism right here in Mount Olive, North Carolina. May it ignite right here in this church today. May it spread from Mount Olive into Faison, into Warsaw, into Newton Grove, Goldsboro, LaGrange, Pink Hill, Beulahville, Rome's Chapel. You name it, Clinton, whatever. God, let the Holy Spirit baptism fall upon this place today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord said, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Yes. Listen to me, church, please. We need the encounter. We need the experience. Yes. We need the expression. We need the power. We need the supernatural ability and the might that can only come from God. If we're going to carry out his command to go into all the world and be a witness, then we need his ability and we need his might at work in us. And it's only going to come through an encounter with Jesus the baptizer. It's only going to come through an experience as we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there will be an expression. There will be an expression so we can do the work and the will of God. Yes. Let me just say this. You will, some of you are here and you will never you will never have the encounter, you'll never have the experience, you'll never have the expression unless you come to Jesus hungry and desperate to be soaked in, saturated in, surrounded in, drenched in, over your head in, immersed in His presence. You're not going to a place to say, oh, I want to receive and speak in tongues. No, I just want to be so saturated in, so soaked in, so surrounded in, immersed in, drenched in the presence of God. I want that experience in my life. And through that experience, there is going to be an expression. And when you come praising God for who He is and for what He's done in your life, I mean, come on, listen, you better tap the side of your head and think a minute. Look what God has done for me. Look what the Lord has done for me. Look where He's brought me from. Look what He has brought me through. I mean, I was a sinner on my way to hell. He came to this earth, died on a cross, shed His blood, poured it out so my sins could be forgiven. He was laid in a tomb, and on the third day, He raised from the grave. He's alive. He's conquered death. He's conquered hell. He's conquered the grave. He did it for me. He did it for you. Oh, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you all stand with me? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Jesus, the baptizer. Here's what I want us to do. Here's what I want us to do. Listen, you know what this church needs? We need some fresh encounters. We need some fresh experiences. We need some fresh expressions. It's not a one-time thing. My sister prayed that this morning in the prayer room back there. It is not a one-time thing. Listen, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to be being filled. It means every day you wake up, I need the encounter. I need the experience. I want the expression of you, God, to come out of my mouth in tongues. Some of you need to have that desire for that hunger, that desperation for a fresh encounter, a fresh experience, a fresh expression. So if you're here this morning, listen, if you want to keep doing what you're doing and the same old, and you just decided I'm not going to be a witness, I'm not going to do what Christ has asked me to do, and you just need to go check out and go get in line somewhere at a buffet or restaurant, go right ahead, help yourself. But if you want more of God, you want to be saturated in, soaked in, surrounded in, immersed in, drenched in the presence of God, I want you to come right now. Find you a place around this altar. Come on, and let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord. Come on, make your way, make your way.